I like the way Darrell attempted to prove his position by giving some verses, like he brought up Junia, Deborah. Instead of just appealing to emotion and things like that, he did try to give us some verses, and I like that. But he is not correct. He's incorrect. He began by talking about the fact that I would bring up 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35 because it seems so clearly against his position. Let's read that again. It is clear, very clear against his position. It says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." Now, I asked you, I really can't think of any subject in the Bible that is clearer on any topic than 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35. If you can, you let me know. There are a lot of things taught in the Bible, some of them very clearly taught in the Bible, like the Bible's definitely against gay, that's clear, right? Against gay marriage. This, it's not any clearer than that. This is just as clear as that. This verse is just as clearly against women preachers as Romans 1, 26 and 27 is against gay marriage. This is crystal clear. Darrell recognized that fact. He even admitted it. But he said, we got to consider what all of the Bible says. I agree with that 100%. Now, we're going to try to get to every proof text that he gave, as I mentioned a few of them a while ago. But suffice it to say, I'll ask you, here's how I'm going to answer every one of them. Or not every one of them, but a lot of them. Here's how I answer a lot of them. When you were growing up, did your parents forbid you from speaking in church? Mine did. Darrell, did yours? I got a spanking one time. My dad told me all along, you do not talk in church. And that meant talk to your friend or your brother sitting next to you. That's what it meant. You're supposed to be paying attention. I did it once. Got a spanking. The worst part of it is you're going to get a spanking when you get home. I'd rather get the spanking right then than have to wait. I got a spanking for it. So when we see somewhere in the New Testament that he's brought up where women prophesied, for example, or taught the Bible, that doesn't make this verse any less clear, because this verse says the woman is not to speak in the church. Darrell was told when he was a child not to speak, not to talk in church. But it didn't mean he couldn't talk during play period at school, did it, Darrell? It meant he wasn't to talk in church. That will take care of just about everything that Darrell said in opposition to what this passage so clearly says. Again, there's not a single thing in the Bible that's taught more clearly than this verse teaches against women preachers. Yet Darrell gets up there, he claims to be a preacher of the gospel, and he doesn't believe what this verse says. Simply because he finds a verse that says women prophesied, of course. But they didn't do it in church. You can talk at play period, in play period at school, but you can't talk in church. Darrell knows the difference. When Philip had four virgin daughters that prophesied, Acts 21, verse 9, they didn't do it in the church when the whole church was come together in one place, verse 23 of chapter 14. That would be a contradiction in the Bible. They taught the Word of God outside the church, like, for example, at a ladies' Bible class, or a Bible class with women and children in it. But when the whole church came together in one place, verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 14, they didn't speak. That's how to resolve that. And then he brought up 1 Timothy 2:11-12, which is just as clear. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Suffer, there's the old King James way of saying, I allow not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. Now, when the whole church has come together into one place, if there's any men meeting with that church, and the woman takes control of the service and preaches the sermon, then she is necessarily violating this passage, teaching over the men. If you were just to have a Sunday school class with men in it, and she is teaching that class, leading that class, then she's violating this passage because she's teaching over the men. It doesn't matter what Darrell says about it. He says it's okay. But God says that it's wrong. And you're going to have to face God in judgment one of these days, and Darrell is too, and I am also, and 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, and 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12 is going to be read to you. Did you obey this passage? Did you love God enough to stand for the truth on this? Or did you decide you're going to do it your way instead of my way? The way of women preachers, that's man's way, not God's way.
It's the same as gay marriage. We read passages that are clearly against gay marriage, but all these churches out here want to have it their way. Now, I know from Darrell, he's against that. Now, why can't he see the same thing when it comes to this? He wants to have his way when it comes to women preachers instead of God's way. Because these verses represent God's way. Now, while we're on 1 Timothy, it says, but Darrell made the point. It says, but I do not allow a woman to teach. As if this was Paul only. Is that what you meant, Darrell, when you emphasized the word I there? Well, I don't think he would be consistent on that because Paul was inspired of God. And so when he says, I don't allow it, that's the same as saying God doesn't allow it. For example, in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20, he said, I would not that you to have fellowship with devils. Darrell, does that mean that's only Paul saying that? Since he said, I would not that you should have fellowship with devils? Or because he's inspired, that's really God saying that. What about Ephesians 4:17 says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk, not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. He says, I say that. Does that mean only Paul, not the Lord? No, we know he's inspired. What about Romans 12:1? I beseech you that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Paul said, I beseech you. Does that mean only Paul? Darrell doesn't believe that. How about Romans 16:17? Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. Does that mean only Paul and not God? We could go on and on with this. Just because Paul said, I, doesn't mean it's not from God. Don't you believe it's inspired? And we're going to bring this back up, but remember what he said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. That's two verses after he said, women are not to speak in the church. He said, the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Only two or three verses before that, he said, women are not to speak in the church. Now, Darrell, was that a commandment of the Lord or not? Paul said, the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. That's two verses, verse 37, after he said, women are to keep silence in the churches. It's a shame for them to speak in the church. So when he says in 1 Timothy 2, I'm saying this, it doesn't mean Paul only. Remember in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, he says, the things that I write unto you, the very words are from the Holy Ghost. That's what he says in 1 Corinthians 2, 13. The things that Paul writes are from the Holy Ghost. Now, Darrell made a big deal about 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10. Let's turn and read that. As if Darrell looked at 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10 and verse 12, and he threw away the whole book of 1 Corinthians. We don't have to pay attention to it anymore. He says, Paul said in verse 10, and to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. But in verse 12, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord. Darrell, I don't think he really meant this, but it sounded like he was saying that the rest of the book, that it was from him and not the Lord. That's not what Paul's saying at all. He's talking about the rest of the marriage situations that he's talking about in 1 Corinthians 7. For example, Darrell doesn't think it's the rest of the book. It couldn't be the rest of the book came from Paul and not the Lord. For example, in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, he says, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body. That's in red letters, by the way, if you have a red letter edition. Which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. Ron Cooper, my friend over here. Darrell, you don't think 1 Corinthians 7, verse 12, but to the rest speak I not the Lord. It's talking about the rest of the book of 1 Corinthians, do you? I mean, he quotes the Lord in 1 Corinthians 11. It's not talking about the rest of the book. It's talking about the rest of the marriage questions or marriage situations that are brought up in chapter 7, which is about divorce and marriage. You know, it's not really saying here when it says, to the rest speak I, but not the Lord. It's not saying, whatever it's talking about, it's not saying that these things aren't binding, that these things are not from God. What it's really saying is that the Lord did not speak directly to these situations while he was on earth. That doesn't mean that God didn't expect us to obey him. It just means that the Lord didn't preach all of the New Testament revelation while he was on earth. And I can prove that to you. John 16, verse 12, Jesus says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all the truth. What's Jesus saying there? I'm not going to tell you all the truth at this time. Granted, he gave a lot of the truth, But I'm not going to give it all to you right now. You can't bear it. But after I'm gone, then the Holy Spirit will guide you into all the truth. That's all he's saying in 1 Corinthians 7, 10 and 12. The Lord did say this in verse 10. You can find it in Matthew 19:6, Matthew 19:9. But this situation he's talking about in verse 12 following, the situation where you're talking about, what about a man, a Christian married to a non-Christian? Jesus didn't directly confront that situation or talk about it while he was on earth. It doesn't mean, though, that Paul's instruction here is not inspired and went off to avoid, excuse me, and don't have to obey it. Look at the last verse of the chapter, the last phrase. He says, but she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. Now watch this. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. What's he saying there? These things that I write unto you, I have the Spirit of God. I'm inspired. Do you see that? Let me ask Daryl one more question. Well, I asked you people that go to church with Daryl, one of these churches, if Daryl is saying the rest of the book of 1 Corinthians doesn't apply because of 1 Corinthians 7, verse 12, what about 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2? Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him a store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Have you ever seen Daryl have a collection? If you have, then he doesn't believe his own argument that 1 Corinthians 7, verse 12 is saying the rest of the book is not binding upon us today. Y'all see the point? Let's talk about something that Daryl was bringing up with 1 Corinthians. He talked about how that, well, 1 Corinthians was written to a specific church and things like that, specific problems, and I can't quote him, I don't have photographic memory. But the basic idea is that it was written to a specific church, specific problems, and of course he's referring to 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35 primarily. And therefore it doesn't apply to us. But you know, the book of 1 Corinthians wasn't really written just to a specific church. Look at chapter 1, verse 2. Who did he write this to? The church of God which is at Corinth, granted, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus. That would mean this book was written not just to the church at Corinth, but to every church, every Christian at that time, and every Christian at this time. Now, if you're here and you're a Christian, don't you claim to call upon the name of Jesus? If you do, this book was written to you. It doesn't just apply to that one church and their specific problems, Daryl. This book was written to all Christians then and now, according to the second verse in the whole book. How about, I already quoted this, in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, it says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. So you know 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35 is not just Paul, but it's in the words that the Holy Ghost teacheth, according to chapter 2, verse 13. And then in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17, the Bible says, Paul said, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which would include what he said in chapter 14, 34 and 35, women are not to preach, of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Not just to Corinth, but every church and everywhere. And then in 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, it doesn't just say, let your women keep silence in that church. It says, let your women keep silence in the churches, plural. So it doesn't just apply to that church, Daryl. And then the reason given in verse 35 why the women are to keep silence in the churches, it says, for it is a shame for women in general to speak in the church. That's everywhere. That's then, everywhere today. And then I've already quoted chapter 14, verse 37. Just two verses after he said it's wrong for women to speak in the church, he said, the things that are right in you are the commandments of the Lord. Daryl, won't you think it's not a commandment of the Lord? It just came from Paul. But Paul said, and he's inspired of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 2:13, the words came from the Holy Ghost. He said it's a commandment of the Lord. And so I'm getting into now where he talked about Acts 2:17. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. But we've already really answered that, hadn't we? Hadn't we? Because I agree that women prophesied. They should teach the Bible today. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35 says they're not to speak in the church. Daryl knows the difference. When I asked him if his parents forbid him from talking in church, he nodded his head, yes. I got a spanking for it. We knew the difference in talking in church and talking at play period in school. They prophesied. Acts 2:17. Did they do it in the church?
Five.
No. If they did in the church, that would be a Bible contradiction. Can you see the difference in talking in church and talking in play period? Then you can see the church difference in prophesying in the church and prophesying outside the church. One is forbidden. One was encouraged. And then he brought up Phoebe in Romans 16, verse 12, which says she was a servant. And he acted like that proved she was a pastor or a preacher. Let me give you a couple of places where that same Greek word is used. The word translated servant there for Phoebe in Romans 16, verse 1. How about Matthew 22:13? It says, then the king said to the servants. The king is talking to his servants. Does that mean preachers and pastors? Or does that mean a servant? How about John 2, verse 9? Same Greek word translated servant, Romans 16, 1, referred to Phoebe. It says, but the servants which drew the water. The servants that drew the water. Daryl, is that talking about preachers and pastors, or is that talking about servants? Phoebe was a servant. Doesn't mean she was a preacher or a pastor. That means she served others. You can serve another person by feeding the hungry. Do you ladies ever do that? Maybe there's somebody sick and you take them a meal. You're being a servant, as the Bible directs. Does that mean you're preaching the gospel in the church or you're a pastor? No, sirree. And then what about Junia in Romans 16, verse 7? He said Junia is an example of a woman preacher. Okay? Let's talk about Junia. First of all, Junia was not likely a woman, Daryl. The newer translations, like the New International Standard Version, have Junius. Okay? But I'm going to tell you why I say she was not, he or she was not likely a woman. Do you ever watch Gunsmoke? Carol and I watch Gunsmoke because all the new TV programs are trashy. We'll try to watch Gunsmoke. Watched quite a bit. It's about a sheriff, Marshall Dillon, and he has a jail. He's in that jail guarding the prison. Have you ever seen a woman in one of those prisons? Inside the jail, out of all the Gunsmokes you watch, you ever see one? No. Back, I think Gunsmoke is set time during the time of the Civil War, right before, right after. Even back then in the late 1800s, they didn't imprison women. But turn to Romans chapter 16, verse 7. I should have already done this. The last chapter in the book of Romans, where Junia is brought up, it says, salute Androcius and Junia, and the newer translations say Junius, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. Women weren't, they weren't fellow prisoners. They weren't put in prison back in those days. That's most likely a man. Suppose, though, it was a woman. What would that prove? What would that prove? It says she is of note among the apostles. Well, Acts 21, verse 19, Daryl, says that Paul was among the Gentiles. Does that mean he was a Gentile? So Junia was of note among the apostles. Does that mean she was an apostle? No, Paul wasn't a Gentile. Cornelius was of good report among the Jews. Acts 10, 22. Does that mean Cornelius was a Jew? Anybody know about football, Alabama, Bo Jackson? Best running back Auburn ever had? Bo Jackson, I guarantee you, was of note among the Alabama coaches. Does that mean that he was an Alabama coach? No, that meant the Alabama coaches knew about him. The English Standard Version says, Junia, they are well known to the apostles. The Simple English New Testament says, Junius, the man's name, the apostles think they are special. So even if it were a woman, it doesn't mean she was an apostle or a preacher or a pastor. It just says she was of note among the apostles. The apostles knew about her. I'm glad. She must have done a lot of work for the Lord, but not preaching and pastoring. Because that would violate 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12, and 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. How much time, Ron? He brought up Deborah. He wanted me to respond to Deborah. And I'm trying to go through these one at a time. I'm not going to have time to get through them all. Deborah was a judge in the Old Testament. Now, do you guys understand the difference in the Old Testament law and the New Testament law, right? You don't do animal sacrifices or circumcision anymore. You know that we're not under the old law anymore. So even if Deborah was a preacher, as Daryl would have her to be, it wouldn't prove anything about the New Testament. We need New Testament examples. But I'll say this about Deborah. Even in the Old Testament, Deborah did not lead in war. She only went with Barak. Judges chapter 4. No verse says she was head over Israel. No verse says she spoke to the Old Testament assembly. Her job as a prophetess, verse 4, was as a messenger to relay God's instructions to Barak and others. That's what she did. She was the prophetess. She relayed God's instructions to the leaders, but she never was set up as a leader over Israel or preached in their assembly. Is my time done, Ron?
3 seconds.
thank you very much for attending. Okay? We got a good crowd here tonight, and some of you have driven a long way, and I certainly appreciate it. And just because Daryl and I preach hard at each other, it doesn't mean we're not friends. We're just trying to press our point on what we believe. So we really are friends, okay? Thank you for coming.